Good day and welcome to the TGS Q4 2012 Results Webcast Presentation Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, and welcome to TGS's fourth quarter 2012 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS. Joining me today on the call is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our fourth quarter earnings release and full year 2012 results. As a reminder, we released our 2013 guidance in January and have reiterated this guidance in today's presentation. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view the release, and now we'll just give a brief summary of some of the main points before opening the call to questions. In the fourth quarter 2012, TGS had total net revenues of $281 million. This is the fifth consecutive quarter that TGS has achieved record performance, with revenue up 56% compared to the same period 1 year ago. Net multi-client late sales were 39% higher than the same period 1 year ago. Pre-funding revenues were up 115%, funding 68% of our investments in multi-client products. Our multi-client investment totaled $95 million for the quarter, 56% higher than 1 year ago. Our resulting operating profit was $118 million, 42% of net revenues, up 88% compared to the same period 1 year ago. Earnings were 81 cents per share, compared to 43 cents per share in Q4 of 2011. For the full year 2012, we exceeded our guidance with net revenues of $932 million, an increase of 53% from full year 2011. Net late sales from the multi-client library after revenue sharing were $564 million, up 34% from 2011. In 2012, operating profit was $402 million, or 43% of net revenues. And this was up 67% from 2011. Investments in the multi-client library in 2012 were $496 million and were 68% pre-funded. This was above the guided investment range for the year, as TGS continued to take advantage of attractive investment opportunities. Earnings per share in 2012 were $2.76 per share, compared to $1.65 in 2011. As of December 31st, 2012, TGS's cash holdings were $339 million, significantly up from $205 million at the end of Q3. The board of TGS announced this morning that it has decided to propose to the June 2013 AGM a dividend of 8 Norwegian kroner per share. The increased dividend from 6 kroner per share last year to 8 kroner this year confirms the company's strong commitment to return cash to our shareholders. TGS's financial performance in 2012 further confirms a strong market with an increasing demand for seismic data. Recently published analyst surveys are reporting continued increases in expected E&P spending in 2013. Seismic spending typically closely follows E&P spending, so expectations are that the industry will continue to see further growth in 2013. Our pipeline of new investment opportunities continues to be strong in both traditional as well as new multi-client markets for TGS. We have ongoing projects across the world, including the Deepwater Gulf of Mexico, onshore North America, Canada, Colombia, Angola, and Liberia. TGS believes that the company's high-quality data library, solid financial position, and highly flexible business model enable the company to continue to deliver profitable growth, built on a foundation of strong investment opportunities. TGS has secured a significant amount of necessary vessel capacity to execute on its investment plan in 2013. At this time, the company sees adequate available additional vessel capacity in the market to execute on our guided plan. And so we'd like to reiterate our guidance for 2013, and we guide the following: multi-client investments of $530 to $600 million, average pre-funding in the range of 50 to 60% of investments, an average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 40 to 46% of net revenues, net revenues in the range of $970 million to $1.05 billion, of which approximately 5% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. Sarah, we'll turn the call over to you at this point.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will now take the first question from Rob Pullen of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Another strong year, gentlemen. Just a few questions from me, if I may. First of all, I know you mentioned in the text the reason for the backlog being down, but could you give a little bit more color as around the proportion of that backlog 3 quarters ago, which related to the onshore work, which explains the roll-off there? The second question I have is, can you give some color or quantum on the percent of the investment you're planning to spend this year that will be in that market, i.e. the land arena? And finally, you continue to have some very strong sales from heavily amortized surveys. How does the outlook look for that going forward? Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rob. We haven't communicated exact investment numbers on our onshore versus marine businesses. We report our results for the onshore business as part of our NSA seismic business. And it's just, you know, it's basically another play in North and South America. And so I can't really report on the percentage of the backlog that we worked off in 2012 that might be part of that onshore business. I would say that, you know, if you think about, at this time in 2012, we had 3 onshore projects in the backlog. We had commitments for 3 onshore projects, and all 3 of those have, for the most part, been worked off. We finished one in late Q3, and we're finishing the other 2 here in Q1 of 2013. And you can imagine, and we've actually described before when we've talked about this play that our onshore projects are typically very heavily pre-funded. I would characterize those projects as having funding very similar to, say, a frontier marine project that we invest in, like in West Africa or Asia Pacific, places like that. And you could probably go, you know, based upon the guidance that we've given for costs of onshore surveys, you could probably calculate what our investments might be in that particular business. I would still characterize, you know, the onshore business, however, being relatively small relative to our overall business globally when you consider our marine investments versus our onshore investments. I'd also point out, too, that early in 2012, of course, we announced our Angola project in January of 2012, and that's also was a very heavily pre-funded large marine survey. And that was the original part of that project was fully, the acquisition part of the project was fully worked off in 2012. And then, of course, we've announced an extension onto that, which we should wrap up at the end of Q1 2013. But that was also another heavily funded project that was worked off and is reflected in that decline in backlog as we've worked down that project. Again, I think the second part of your question was what proportion of our 2013 plan is onshore. We have, of course, acquired a Canadian company now. The Canadian business is an onshore multi-client business, and since we've started investing in Canada, at the beginning of Q3, we've announced 4 projects in Canada in the winter Canadian season. Again, these are projects that are very rapid to complete. They're relatively small projects in onshore Canada. And that's about what we can kind of communicate right now in the onshore business.
Okay, thanks. And on the older surveys, which are heavily amortized, the sort of outlook for the demand for that data, if you could sort of shed any light there?
Sure. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things to predict in our business is what vintage of data oil companies are going to license. It varies on a quarter-by-quarter basis. I guess in Q4 we had 9% of our overall revenues that came from surveys that were totally amortized off our books, so pre-2008 surveys. You know, that number varies. I think it's been as low as 6 or 7%. I think it's been as high as 15, 17%, something like that. You know, and it varies on a quarter-by-quarter basis. It's very hard to predict. I think Christian might have a follow-up to that as well, Rob.
Yeah, also keep in mind that if you look at that number over time, as we grow the business significantly, as we've done in 2012, you will see that 9% would actually correspond to about $25 million of sales. So it's very healthy sales in dollar terms for both old vintages.
Yeah, absolutely. But I suppose the key conclusion here is that, you know, even for areas you've shot in the past, there still seems to be a lot of demand for that data from the industry. And given, I suppose, your position on in many frontier areas, we shouldn't expect that demand would roll off anytime soon. Is really what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right.
Thanks very much, gentlemen, and well done again.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Peter Hatfield of Diamond Rose. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Now that you've been active in North America for a little over a year and have had the opportunity to process and interpret some of the data with your customers, are there any plays in particular where you're seeing, you know, notable growth in interest based on some of the results that you've acquired?
Yeah, you know, our focus, Peter, has been purely on the oil shale, so unconventional reservoirs, but liquids focused. We've stayed away from dry gas. Obviously,
right.
That's been an area where industry over the year has declined their investment, I guess, in the gas shales. That's not necessarily true, I suppose, in the oil shales, at least in the area where we've been operating. Our first project was in the Utica Shale in eastern Ohio, and then we've got two projects in Kansas, southern Kansas, in the Mississippi Lime Play. The projects also that we've invested in Canada in Q3, Q4, and early Q1 have all been in liquids unconventional reservoirs, so we're focusing on the liquids plays there as well. And there continues to be interest, obviously, in those plays. Again, you know, I would point to the fact that what I stated before from the previous question, these projects tend to be heavily pre-funded. So there tends to be a lot of initial interest in the projects before we start those. I would also say that, you know, we started recording and investing in these projects in January of 2012. And in reality, we haven't fully processed and delivered final products to customers. So, you know, it takes that long to acquire and to process some of these projects. So, you know, some of our customers are getting preliminary data, and we're getting great feedback from what they've received so far. But you know, we're still quite a ways from having a final data set out on the market to be able to deliver to the market.
Okay, great. That's all for me. Thanks, guys. Congrats on the quarter.
Thanks, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Looking on the sales per vintage graph again, the 2011 seems to have a relatively low percentage versus, you know, previous years. Any specific project in this vintage, you know, which explain why it's relatively low overall?
No, not really, Christopher. I mean, in 2011, we completed one of our big project, wide azimuth project in the Gulf of Mexico, but in general there's probably about 50 projects in that vintage, so it's very hard to give you specific comments on the sales of those projects.
Looking on the line where you disclose the operating margin per area, you have one line called other segments corporate, which previously had a small positive, but a negative in 2012. Is it the acquisitions that caused it to be negative this year, or is it anything else we should be aware of?
Are you looking at note 4, the segment information?
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing in particular. I think you could expect to see that kind of reporting going forward as well. So it's corporate cost, and corporate cost is obviously affected significantly by the bonuses of the employees. So all the bonus cost is related to corporate cost now in other segments.
And keeping to that note, looking on the history, we can also see that the operating margin for the Africa, Middle East, Asia Pacific region has always been lower than North and South America and Europe, but has improved significantly, especially now in 2012. Anything you would point out specifically that caused this improvement?
Well, that's mainly related to when we go into a frontier area, we are very careful on setting the amortization rate from the beginning of the project. And typically some of those projects in frontier areas turn out to be better than we think when we start the project. So we are quite conservative for the first couple of years in those areas. And I think West Africa should be a very good example of that.
Okay. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now take the next question from Tom Ackerman of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just two questions from me, please. First of all, on the dividend, I recognize that 8 kroners per share is probably a very good level to pay out. I'm just wondering, given how strong your cash position is, why we shouldn't pay out a little bit more and then push that yield up even further. Are there any big plans in relation to that cash position, or is it just you choosing to remain very conservative and... Just keep the options open. Secondly, on Stingray, I was just wondering, there's a note in the press release talking about the additional payments that you might have to make or might not have to make. What's the current visibility on there? Is there anything in terms of progress with that business that would indeed require you to make that final payment, or does it look like that one's not gonna happen?
Yeah, so I'll answer your first question. You know, when our board considers what level of dividend to propose, we do some very detailed cash forecasting based upon our expected investment in the coming year and the cash requirements for that investment. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right. We have traditionally maintained a very conservative balance sheet. I think you could probably go back and look at, you know, up since 2010 when we paid our first dividend and when the board proposed the first dividend based upon 2009 earnings. That would have been in, February of 2010. You could probably go back and look at 2010, 2011, and 2012 about the same time and kind of get a feeling for, as we've increased the dividend, you know, what sort of the cash balance was at that time, and quarterly throughout the year, you know, what was our cash profile, to get an idea maybe of what the board is comfortable with in terms of a cash balance on our balance sheet. And we, sure. You know, we think it's important to have a strong balance sheet and keep a strong level of cash there because of the cyclicity in our business. We've also feel like we're able to take advantage of not only potential M&A, but also, which we've done on a regular basis at TGS, but also in project investments. You know, for example, you know, it might enable us to strategically invest in an area where we feel very certain about the outcome of the project, but maybe a customer's commitment timing is not just right, you know, to be able to actually pre-fund the project, in other words, you know.
Sure.
It gives us confidence to kind of step out and do some stuff like that. So we think that has served us very well. And so the board looks at that when they set that dividend level. We've also occasionally done share buybacks, and, you know, we have current authorization from the shareholders to do share buybacks, so I wouldn't, you know, we haven't proposed anything right now or announced anything, but, you know, it might be that our board decides to opportunistically do a little bit of that in the future as well if we feel like
we need to return additional cash back to the shareholders.
Okay.
In regards to your second question, TGS acquired Stingray back in April of 2011, and part of that acquisition involved an earn-out to the sellers of Stingray that was triggered 2 years after the acquisition. And so it would be towards towards the end of April. I don't remember the exact date.
18th.
Yeah, Christian's telling me it's the 18th of April.
Okay.
In which if certain milestones aren't met, and these are business-related milestones that we haven't disclosed before, I suppose, but if certain milestones aren't met, those payments or that money due that we have currently as an obligation or as a potential liability on our balance sheet would not
mm-hmm.
be paid. So that's something that obviously as we get closer to that date of April 18th, we look at the likelihood of that occurring, and we'll announce what we might do with that contingent liability. At that point, we make that determination.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take the next question from Amy Wong of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions, please. The first one is also related to Stingray, actually. Just a bit, would you be willing to disclose a bit more kind of color from a business perspective in terms of, what's the market out there like, demand for the permanent monitoring systems out there, and potentially how many systems there are kind of in the tendering pipeline now, and, how well positioned you guys are for potentially winning some of those systems out there. And the second one relates to your North and South American region. Realize that growth was very good across all regions, but the growth in North and South America was very good. There was some commentary in there in terms of kind of the activity levels, but can we get a little bit more color in terms of where the boost was coming from, North or South America, late sales mixed with pre-funding. Can we get just a bit more on that, please? Thanks.
Sure. So your first question, kind of talking about permanent reservoir monitoring. We saw, I guess, in 2012, there were two tenders that were awarded in 2012 for systems. One was awarded by Shell in Brazil, and one was awarded in late 2012 by Statoil. Both of those systems were awarded to contractors employing electrical systems, so they chose not to utilize fiber optic systems. Currently, there are two fiber optic installations in existence, one in the North Sea and one in Brazil. Those projects are proceeding. Those were awarded to really the only two other competitors we have in the fiber optic BRM business, of which we're participating in. It's really a technology. Fiber optic PRM is really a technology. It's still in its infancy. We understood that when we invested in Stingray in 2011. We understood that it was a new technology and it would be developing, and we needed to be patient and give it time to develop. And I think that has borne itself out over time. We do see a pipeline of systems. And we are in active discussions with various clients. I obviously can't talk about those for competitive and for client confidentiality reasons, but there are some proposed projects out there that we expect will be materializing in 2013-2014. So we are continue to be optimistic about the uptake of that technology. In terms of your second question regarding growth in NSA, I think a few things. I can't really talk in much more granularity because we really don't report, individual regions with NSA financially. I would say that a couple of things to think about, Amy. Oil companies are probably preparing for a license round in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to occur in March, scheduled for March in the Central Gulf, and we have TGS has a very large 3D and wide azimuth footprint in the central Gulf of Mexico. I would remind you that, you know, the onshore business is a new play for us, and we've been investing there, and obviously there's associated revenues with our investments in the onshore. And then also we started a new 2D project in Latin America, in Colombia in Q4. And so, I would point to, all I could say is that we are pleased to see, you know, sort of a broad level of growth within that region in a few different places.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. We have no further questions.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. And thank you, everybody else, for attending our conference call. We look forward to speaking with you in our Q1 earnings release in early May. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.